Christ arose, it changed everything. On that that first Sunday morning, or that first Easter morning, resurrection morning, it's everything changed. And the disciples, many were confused. Many lived in fear. You say, why do you think they lived in fear? Or how do you know they lived in fear? Well, they all left Jesus. They ran from Jesus in the garden. We only know of John the Beloved being near the cross. As I mentioned, some of the other disciples might have followed afar away. But even after he had appeared, they were still hiding in the upper room. So they were very fearful. These things took him by surprise. But when Jesus arose, everything changed. And there's just a couple benefits of that. And there's a couple things that I think we can learn and we can grow from and we can take with us this evening that can help us in our day-to-day walk and as we try to be a witness of Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and, before we even start reading, let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the few testimonies we heard. And Lord, I know that the people in this room are very thankful for their salvation. And Lord, I am thankful for the opportunity to just share and bear one another's burdens as we heard about Rachel. And Lord, we pray you help Rachel and Jonathan and Micaiah. And Lord, and that you bring them, Lord, to the point that they know that they're not right and with you. And Lord, that they get into church and Lord, they serve you and meet the spiritual needs that are there in their lives. And Lord, I pray that you help all of us. I know there are people in our hearts and minds that we want to see in church and serving and people getting saved. And Lord, I pray that you guys, as we see the power of your resurrection, remind us that that's the type of power that we can have in our lives also. And Lord, that we live a powerful Christian life, one that we see you blessing, one that we see you using us for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, because he arose. So let's go ahead and read a few verses here in Matthew chapter 28. And then we're going to look at what happened that first Easter Sunday morning in the end of the Sabbath. As it began to draw on toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. There's some places in the Bible I would have just liked to have been there to seen that and experienced that. But just to watch that happen, the earthquake, and then the angel rolling back the stone and just sitting on it. I think that sounds kind of neat. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. So here's a couple things that I'd like to say that I think is pertinent for us today. And I know we can make a long list of the changes that happened because he arose. But the first thing I want you to remember is, because he arose, I can trust in his promises. Because he arose, I can trust in his promises. And I like for us, when we look at these things, to kind of go back and try to put ourselves in the place of the disciples and the believers that had just watched Jesus die, that probably had fear and confusion and misunderstanding of what was going on. He said, no, Pastor, they all knew about it. They had all heard about it. Of course, they knew he was going to raise from the dead. There's nowhere in Scripture does it say that any of them really got it. The only person you could probably make that Scripture hints to that is when Mary of Bethany came and anointed his body before his burial, that maybe she understood kind of what was going on. But we see that they, even Mary Magdalene said, hey, they stole his body. They all thought that they had taken him. They all thought something was wrong and different. But you see what it says here when it says in verse number 6, he is not here, for he is risen as he said. Can you imagine those 3 days and 3 nights that Christ was in the tomb? They were probably doubting all the wonderful promises that he had given them already. Like in John chapter 14, it just had happened a few nights earlier than that. Then they're sitting there and they're wondering. He said, you know, I go to prepare a place for you. You know, that he was going to be in heaven. But then instead, he is crucified on a cross. Can you imagine that they probably questioned and they did not understand? And one of the reasons why the disciples were crushed by Christ's crucifixion was because they didn't understand and did not hold on to the promises that he had already given them about his resurrection. What hope he had missed was because they neglected to hear God and hear his promises. Luke chapter 24 and verse number 6 says something similar to Matthew 28, 6. He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. And I think that the light bulb didn't even come on sometimes until they saw Jesus and Jesus explained it to them. And as we mentioned earlier, Mary Magdalene didn't even believe until she heard Jesus say her name, and it kind of clicked then, and he had still give them a message. You say, what are you getting at, Pastor? I'm saying that because he arose, we can trust in his promises. I'm saying that the disciples, they missed out. And in the scriptures, it kind of talks about how that the Lord is one that opens our eyes up to spiritual things. And they did not get it. They did not fully understand until after he had rose from the dead. But after he arose, and because he arose from the dead, we can trust in his promises. We do not have to live a life of fear. We do not have to live a life of neglect when it comes to the things of God. We have God's promises, and because he arose, just like the disciples, they understood he arose, he said he was going to rise, and he did, and we can trust in him. The resurrection validated the claims of Jesus. It provided ultimate credibility to his person. You know, if anybody else would have thought maybe he was some type of trickster and he was accused of being in cahoots with the devil, no one could question the fact that he had rose. It validated all his claims. Because the resurrection offers such proof, we can believe his message. Moreover, we can belong to him. We can celebrate with confidence. We have not followed a fable. We have not followed a bunch of lies. We have followed the truth. We do not have to be fearful. We have a book full of promises. And because we know he said he was going to rise again, and because he did that ultimate thing, we can trust everything else he said. Think about it. 2 Peter 1:16 says, "For we have not followed cunning devised fables when made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Peter is speaking to them, and he's saying to this church, he's saying, look, it's not some cunningly devised fable. It's not something that they drank the Kool-Aid that was not true. And you know what it was? It was truth, and it's proved because he rose again. Acts 1:3 says, "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." You know what we should learn how to do is grab a hold of God's promises and just live them out. And the Bible says wonderful things about promises when it comes to peace, when it promises that come to him providing for us, promises of a home in heaven someday. John 14:3 says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And when he was there on that cross, I can imagine that the leaders and the believers and the followers of Jesus are like, how is he going to prepare something for me when he's up there on that cross? He's dying. He's being crucified. Probably doubts came in their minds and fear came into their mind. But because he arose, we can trust anything he says. We can trust his promises. The question is, will we grab a hold of them? Will we live our lives believing that we can trust his promises? You can trust the love of God for you. You can trust what he is doing in your life. Oftentimes, we do not see God's purposes beyond our suffering. But Christ's sacrifice on the cross, I believe, silences any doubt about God's love for us. Think about what it says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" If he was willing to give his son up for our salvation, don't you think he would give us any and everything that we need? We can trust his promises. Because he arose, we can trust his promises. You think about it. They were there. They were probably doubting. They had imagined some great kingdom that Jesus was going to be king over and they were going to rule with him. But they saw, instead of a crown of gold, a crown of thorns. Instead of being lifted on a throne, they were lifted on a cross. And the doubts came in their minds. But because he arose and did exactly what he said he was going to do, whether we forget those promises, whether sometimes we tend to look at the circumstances instead of the scriptures, we ourselves can also trust everything he says because he arose. Second thing I want you to think about, not only can we trust his promises, second thing I want you to think about is Because he arose, I have a powerful story to tell. Because he arose, I have a story to tell. You met anybody, ever met somebody that tells stories? And tells stories over and over? Sometimes they're really boring. Stop looking at Wesley, Miss Janet. So, ever met somebody who would tell a story? Miss Janet wasn't the only one looking at Wesley either. So, okay. But ever met somebody who told a story and you're like, why are they wasting my time? I mean, sometimes the stories are boring. Sometimes they have no pertinent reasoning behind it. You're just waiting for them to get done. And you know, I might tell those stories sometimes. You might be, yeah, Pastor, we're all looking at you. Only a few of us looked at Wesley, but we're all looking at you. But we don't have a story to tell that is just a run-of-the-mill story. We have a story that's powerful, that is the greatest story that's ever been told. Can you imagine if he was still in the tomb, there wouldn't have been a story? If he was in the tomb, all those religious leaders would have been right. He saved others, he can't save himself. You know, all those different things that happened, they would have laughed at Mary, and they would have scorned the disciples. And they would have lived in confusion and not understanding, because he never arose. But he did arise. And because he arose, we have the greatest story and the most powerful story that's ever been told. We have a message to share with others. The glad realities of salvation should compel us to tell the world lost in sin that there is a Savior. He already paid for their sin. It is finished. And he arose for their justification. We should not keep the message to ourselves. We should share this message. I know many times we like to tell stories about people and about things. I know people love talking about their grandkids and their great-grandkids. And they like telling about what their kids have done and like telling about this and like telling about that. But Jesus is here and he had this amazing story because he rose from the dead. No other religious leader can say that. If you went to Acts chapter number 5, you remember when some of the disciples were on trial. And when they were on trial, there was that man that stood up that told them to give them a little bit of space. And that man began to give description about some men who had come before who said that they were the Messiah, or they were some type of spiritual leader, and how they had died and passed off on the scene. And they said that those men are people that we don't know anything about. Those men are people that we had never heard of, probably would not know about them unless we see them in Acts chapter number 5. You say, Pastor, what are you getting at? People know who Jesus is. Amen. You want to know why? It's because he arose. He's not like Muhammad. He's not like Buddha. He is alive today, and we have a story to tell that God became man, and not only did God become man and live among us, he loved us so much that he died for us, and by dying for us, he paid for our salvation. He paid our sin debt, and we can spend eternity in heaven with him because we know he arose from the dead. I mean, that's the greatest story to ever told, but you know what? We just don't like telling people. Because he arose, we have a story to tell. There was a missionary that once told a story about a formerly Muslim man. The question was asked, why did you become a Christian? He said it was like this. I was journeying down the road of life, and I came to a fork. I didn't know which way to go, but there was two men there. One was dead and stayed dead. One was dead and came back to life. He said, which one would you ask for advice? Of course you're going to ask Jesus. He's alive. He can help him. Muhammad's dead and can't help him. It made a change that is unlike any other. And we hear lots of stories in TV today. It's amazing how the media spins things and put lies out there. Even from both sides, everybody, there's not much character. And there's just so many lies out there. You don't know what the truth is. But we have a story that is true and that is real and that can change people's lives. And we have a story to tell. And it's all because he arose. If he did not arise, we wouldn't be here today. We'd be lost in our sins. We'd have nothing to celebrate. And no, they wouldn't have the Easter Bunny around either, because there would be no Easter. And it's the only reason why we celebrate the Resurrection Sunday is because Christ arose. We have a story to tell. And it's an amazing story. The gospel still saves, and we should keep on sharing it. Amen. Have you ever considered the largest number of salvation recorded in Scripture took place following the resurrection? I know it had to do with the Holy Spirit beginning to indwell Christians. I get that. But what was new about it? It was the fact that the resurrection had recently happened. It had been in a reasonable amount of time that it was on people's hearts and on people's minds. You know, what are you getting at? I think we should always be a witness, but this time of year is really an important time to be a witness because the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the death of Jesus Christ is on people's minds and on people's hearts. We can use the scriptures to help bring people to Christ. Think about it. In Acts chapter 1:8, he says, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth." We should share this story. I told you many years ago, I used for about 6 months, I was a telemarketer. I hated that job. And I know I still really do not like getting phone calls from telemarketers today. So I still try to be kind to them because I realize they're doing a job. But the reason why I did not enjoy the job is because I was trying to sell them something they did not need. With the story we have to tell, the great thing is everyone needs to hear. And if they have heard it and they have accepted, they're not going to mind hearing it again. They're not going to mind you asking if they're a Christian or a believer. It's the greatest story ever. And because he arose, I have a powerful story to tell. Third thing, and this will be the last one. Not only because he arose, we can trust in his promises. And not only because he arose, I have a story to tell. But because he arose, I can live a changed life. Because he arose, I can live a changed life. And underneath this, there's two different points I want you to think about. Because he arose, you can have victory over sinful habits. When Jesus died on the cross, he broke sin's hold on us. When you trusted Christ as your Savior, your old man died, and you can have victory over sin, the Bible says. Romans 6:6 says, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, henceforth we should not serve sin." Galatians 1:4 also says, "Who gave himself for our sins," this is what it's talking about, Christ, "gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father." So it isn't just about the future. It isn't just about the past. He wants us to deliver us from this present evil world also, because he arose again. Ironside put it this way. He gave himself for our sins, not simply that we might have our past sins forgiven, nor that we might stand justified before him as to the future, but in order that the power of sin might be broken in our lives, that we might live, that we might no longer be subject to Satan's authority, that we might be free men and women living here to the glory of the Lord Jesus. We can have victory over sin because he arose. And we got to remember to reconcile ourselves dead. We got to remember that he did die for us and we do not have to sin. Because he arose, he broke that bond, and we have the ability to live without that sin reigning over us. Not only is it that we can have ability to overcome sin, but we can also experience Christ living through you. You can experience Christ living through you. Galatians 2:20, the Bible says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God." Now listen, it says, "who loved me and gave himself for me." That's a great resurrection day verse. You know, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He is the one that lives in me. We have the power of God in our lives. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God. And listen, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is what the cross is about. He came and he gave himself for me because he loved me. Think about it. Because of our resurrection life in Christ, we are connected with the Lord. By his Spirit, he indwells us. We are partakers of his divine nature. In the words of Alfred Ackley, "I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever man may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. And because he is alive today, we can rest in his power. I know sometimes we get disappointed. I know sometimes we get tired. But because he is alive, he's not tired. We can rest in his power. We can rest in his strength. The Apostle Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. And I'm thinking about as Paul is saying that, he's saying, look, I can live a powerful Christian life that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. The most powerful thing he did was to rise from the dead. And we have that power living within us. And God can give us the opportunity to help us and give us the strength to do what he has called us to do. The resurrection means that Christ is with me and will never leave me. It means that I have a context for my life. I have a purpose. It's not about the 50 years, 60 years, 70 years. It's not about the retirement or what I can do here in this world for fleshly things. It's about eternity now. And because he arose, living my life with eternity in view. It's so very important. Go ahead and take your Bibles here and still in Matthew chapter 28. And it says in verses 18 through 20, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. So we can experience Christ living through us. He has all power in heaven and earth. And because he has all power, he is telling them, go ye therefore and teach all nations. You say, that's an impossible thing to do. Not when you have the Lord. It's power and strength. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And look at the next phrase. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He's with us. We can rest in his promise. Because he arose, I can live a changed life. I can have victory over sin. And I can have the experience Christ living through me. The question is today, do we live that changed life? We go through those three things. Are we trusting in his promises? Are we sharing that greatest story, that powerful story we have? He arose. I know sometimes we get overwhelmed with all the different things that happen that go around a special day that we miss the whole point to take time to reflect and meditate and rejoice and praise the Lord. But he arose. That is the most amazing event of all human history. All of creation looked forward to it that day. And all creation is looking back to it now. And someday he's going to return. But when he arose from the dead, he paid our sin debt for us. When he said it was finished and he died on that cross, 3 days later, he rose again. We have an amazing story to tell. It seems almost too good to be true. But the great thing is, there is probably only one thing in this life that seems too good to be true, and it's still true. You ever heard that? It's too good to be true. It probably isn't true. But this is so good to be true. Because he rose again, it is true. Last but not least, are you living that changed, resurrected life? The power that Christ has, it says, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. The Son of God. It is a life that we live by faith. Thank you for being here tonight and being faithful. As we think about the resurrection day, let's consider, because he arose, everything changed. I can trust in him. I have a story to tell now. And I have a new life to live. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of